Without further ado, would you please welcome my good brother in the Lord, Pastor Prosper from Burundi. Woo! Preach it, brother, preach it.
Amen. Praise God. Awesome. It's good to be here this morning. Are you excited to have us here? Are you sure? Come on, do you mean it? Awesome. So, my name is Pastor Prosper, serving in a church called United Christian Church at Mangrovat, and also leader of a youth ministry called the Great Army of Jesus. As Pastor Matt had already said, that we were privileged to be here. Was it last year? And we had great time, awesome moments together with you guys. And we are glad that Pastor Matt hasn't forgotten about us. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Matt and Carol, for your loving kindness. You guys are so awesome. You know, I'm not the best speaker like Matt. You know, I'm just the African. But I'm going to give you an African preaching. Is that all right? All right. All right, yeah, all right. So I feel like I'm still prosper. Let me ask that God will cover me with his glory. Father, I thank you for who you are. You are an amazing God. There is no accidents in you. You don't make mistakes. I'm not here by accident. You sent me here for a reason. Use me. Help me. Strengthen me. Help your church to receive that which you've sent for them. I thank you and I praise you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Awesome. So we have a sermon today by the title of One Thing is Needful. One thing is needed. Like, there's only one thing that Jesus requires from you and I this morning or even for eternity. He's not looking for so many things. And if we can just do this one thing, we will be able to do other things as well. Isn't that awesome? Can somebody shout, one thing is needed? Only one thing. Isn't that awesome? So, starting from our reading from the book of Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. It's not a very long reading, but I want to read from the screen because I think I might be reading a different version. Right. Now, it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Let's go. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me with to serve alone? Come on, let's go. Is that it? All right. Yeah, awesome. Praise God. This is an awesome reading. It's not a very long reading. It's not, you know, something so sophisticated. It's not something so, you know, so strange. It's not a parable or anything. It's just something so easy and simple to read and understand. But when I was reading this scripture, the Lord spoke to me in a way that I believe every Christian needs to understand that the revelation behind this passage. It said from the beginning of the verse that it came to pass a certain day that Jesus was going into a city, and a woman called Martha welcomed Jesus into her home. She said, Jesus, come into my house. I want to prepare something for you to eat. this afternoon, if not this morning. Would you come to my house? And Jesus says, I would be glad to come and have a meal with you, Martha. But the Bible says that Martha lived with her sister called Mary. Mary, who did not seem to be very much interested in serving. You know, as Christians, we can be so busy serving. We can be so busy in children ministries. We can be so busy, you know, doing all kinds of things that we believe that would really bring honor and glory to Jesus or to God. But there is one thing that is very important. One thing is very important. And Jesus said, Mary has chosen that very thing, which is sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to him. You know, many times as Christians, we can be so comfortable and happy just coming to church Sunday in and out every Sunday. And we say, we're doing good, aren't we? We never miss a service. It's not what Jesus is all about. It's not what he wants from us. You know what? You can come here in the church and still not meet Jesus. It is possible for you to do all the services and still lack one thing, to spend time with Jesus. We are living in a world that tries to create opportunities for us to be distracted. We have so many social apps. Some of us are signed up for few. You know, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and so many others. I don't know them all. And some of these applications are useful if you know how to use them the right way. But they can be deceiving at the same time. So Martha is saying, man, I'm doing a good job. Am I not doing a good job? Jesus is going to be so happy. Woo! And she's praying. She's playing around in the kitchen. She's thinking, oh, man, I wish Martha won't come to help me so I can go and shut her down before Jesus. You know, before you know it, she's doing a lot of things. And she say, hey, Jesus! He says, yes, Martha. Are you not concerned about Mary? Don't you realize that Mary isn't doing so much as I am doing? And Jesus says, Mary is a smart woman. She is the smart one because she's doing what is very much right, important. And yes, you are doing what is right. Yes, you are doing what is important, but she's doing what is right. You can't be doing what is good. But is it or really what is right? Is that what is required? We can do all these other ministries. But if we don't ever seek the face of Jesus, we miss the point. Christians are called to spend time with Jesus. You know what happened in the Garden of Eden? The first thing as believers lost, we lost a relationship with our God. And all that Jesus wanted to do when he came, it was to restore that relationship. And the relationship means that we get to spend time with him. It means that we get to actually think about him and say, I want to speak to my God. You know, he died for me. You know, we preach about this message, Jesus died for us many, many times. But we don't get to pause for a second and think about it in a deeper way. Did he really, really die for me? Did he like really, really die for me? Did he take his place for me? Was I the one who was supposed to be hanging on that cross? And a loving God had to send his only begotten son in his majestic love to come and die for a sinner. Remember the Bible says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He did not die for the holy nation. He died for a crooked generation. What can we do back for him? He's not asking anything else but for you to come at his feet. I so loved that message that the lady was talking about before we have a Holy Communion. That's the same message he was delivering. And I was like, Holy Spirit, I love you. Whoa, what a confirmation. Hallelujah. Praise God. So Martha understood something. Sorry, Mary understood something. She said, I've got nothing to offer to Jesus. And she understood one scripture that says that Jesus did not come to be served. Rather, he came to serve. He came to give his all himself as a ransom for many. We have no many things we can give to him. He's got it all. He's all sufficient. He's got everything that you ever think about. He is God, all-knowing, sovereign God, who was, who is, and yet to come. But all he ever desired from you and I is to go back to him and spend time with him. Praise God. It is by sitting right at the feet of Jesus that we receive true life. You know, you may appear living and yet you are dead. Amen. You want to live today, you receive Jesus with all your heart, with all your strength, and with all your mind. It is by sitting at the feet of Jesus that we are led by his Spirit and we are given the mind of Jesus. Come on. It's not awesome. You know, one day I was thinking, God is so good, so beautiful, that he would be able to give us his pure spirit to work within us. Come on, it is the very same spirit. It is not the sister spirit. It is exactly the same spirit that was in Jesus that he gives us today as believers. How awesome is he? Hallelujah. It is at the sitting by the feet of Jesus that we begin to receive breakthroughs. Come on. Breakthroughs are not found anywhere else, but right at the feet of Jesus. Can you sit at the feet of Jesus long enough? You know, so many times, because of the busiest schedules that we have, we want to, you know, do a prayer while we're driving because we believe we don't have time. You know, we pray while we're drinking coffee because we think we're so busy. Come on. We will do anything else, but we don't have time for Jesus. And Jesus is sending me today to tell you that can you expand your prayer for time? Can you just take it another notch further? A few more minutes. A few more minutes, a few more seconds, a few more hours. Can you spend time with him? You know, even as preaching the gospel, I can preach the gospel and make it an idol. It's possible. So just because I'm preaching the gospel does not mean that I've got it all figured out. We gotta preach the gospel from the throne of God, from the throne of mercy. Then the gospel begins to put a big impact on the people we presented to. Hallelujah. At the feet of Jesus, we begin to receive revelation of who we are in him. We begin to understand who he is, how much he values us, how much he loves us. We begin to understand. We will die for him because we know how much he loves us. But it is right at the feet of Jesus that we get this knowledge. We get wisdom. We get understanding. Amen? Right at the feet of Jesus. One thing is needed. One and one only thing. To spend time with God. And I don't know why I'm preaching this message to a very prayerful church. Because as the intercessors were praying for me in the room, I feel the presence of God fell on me like, woof. You guys are awesome. So many times we want to give Jesus what we think he wants because we want to create what we believe he wants. Something that is so easy for us to do. Something that does not require as much of our sacrifice. Something that does not seek to take our time. You know, we can do all these kinds of cool things. And we say, I go and pick up people, you know, and drive them to church. I'm doing good. Isn't that awesome? I don't have to pray. I don't have to speak to Jesus. You know, I'm already doing good. But I'm shocking you right now. I'm going to shock you. Jesus did not die for you to receive your service. He died for you, to receive you, not to receive your service. Amen. He died for you, not so you can sing for him. You know, Jesus did not die so that he could win himself a bunch of slaves. He died for you so that he could receive back his daughters and sons that were lost in the sins. How do we know that we believe we belong to Jesus? How do we know that we really love him? How does he know that we really love him? By how much we think of him. By how much we spend time with him. By how much we say, Jesus, I want nothing but you. That's how he knows. Do you doubt that Jesus loves you? A man who died, who left his awesome seat in heaven, full of splendor, and came in the flesh as a very poor man. He was spat at. He was beaten. His body was torn apart for you and I. What else could he do for you? And he says, I want nothing in return. All I want is for you to realize that I love you so much that I can't live without you. I need you so much. I love you so much. People, come to me. Let us form a good connections. Let us form a good relationship that we may live the same way that he used to go in the Garden of Eden and speak at Adam every single day. Can he begin to walk in your house every day? Would you invite him to walk in your house, in your family, in your marriage, in your job every day? Would you be able to do that? Praise God. I feel the anointing of God in this place. He came to give you life. Life more abundantly. We see in the book of Mark, chapter 10, verse 21 and 22. It speaks of a rich man who thought I died everything. He said, look, I help the poor, right? I build houses to the homeless. I do all these things. So he goes to check himself in the mirror of Jesus. He says, Jesus, check me out. What do you see when you look at me? Because he thought he got it all figured. He's done all that was required for him to enter the kingdom of God. And as a matter of fact, Jesus was impressed by this man. He said, you're doing good. You've done so really good. Like, you're really doing good. But there is only one thing that is missing, though. He says, go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor. Do you know what this means? Jesus is not saying that I don't want you to be rich. Jesus is not saying that I don't want you to be prosperous. All that Jesus saw from this man was his riches had become his distractions. He could not spend time with God no more. All he did was, I want more time to make my money. Yes, I will give tithe. Yes, I will give offering. Yes, I will go to church on time. But Jesus, do not ask me for the time, for I don't have no time. I will do anything else you need me to do. Just don't ask me for the time. I don't have time. I will tithe. I will give a good offering. I will build good houses for the homeless. Yes, I will give to the needy. I will do everything, Jesus, but I don't have time. And Jesus says, all I need is your time. All I need is your time. I don't need all these things. And if you do these things out of intimacy with Jesus, that brings him glory. Hallelujah. When you do all these things, driven by your own flesh, at the end of the day, you're serving yourself. You want people to say, hey, look at him. He's a good man. You want to receive all the glory. But when you do it from intimacy, out of intimacy with the Abba Father, it is no longer for you. It is to serve his kingdom. Hallelujah. Can we do that? Hallelujah. And I don't know who I'm speaking to today, but God is saying, you are not doing wrong. You know, Jesus wasn't saying that, Martha, I don't want your food. That was not the point of Jesus. Jesus was saying, yes, food is needed. We all need to eat. It's okay. Thank you for preparing a meal. However, somebody say, however, I need you to spend time with me first. And all these things are just an addition of what you get to do. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? That God will only ask one thing. As long as you spend time with Jesus, giving offering becomes a very simple thing. Amen? Giving to the needy becomes a simple thing. Forgiveness becomes just a song for you. Because you are filled with love. You are filled with his life. You live. And you can say like Paul, it is no longer I who live, but Christ in me. To be able to speak such a big statement, you can't say that unless you know Jesus intimately. You spend time with him. He speaks to you, and you speak back to him. You know what Christians do nowadays? We want to go before God and we will tell him all that we need him to fix for us. And as soon as we're done, we say, all right, Jesus, I'll be looking forward for your answer. I'm going. Thank you. I see you when I see you. Amen? But can we begin to learn to wait? Wait a little bit more. In his presence. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord. Come on. We'll do what? We'll renew their strength. They'll mount up in the air like eagles. They shall not grow weary. Amen? They will run and run and run. They will not faint. Yeah, 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 yeah. Come on, put together your hands together for Jesus. It is when we spend time with Jesus that we are renewed. We receive his strength. I tell you what, you cannot fight against sin in your power. You can try it. I've tried it many times, by the way, not just a few times, but many, many times. It just doesn't work. But when we receive Jesus and allow him to take the full place, all of it, not just some rooms of the house, but for him to say, Jesus, you are the king of my house. Amen? He brings an impact in your life. You know, all these things, addictions, and all of these other things become, they begin to vanish. They begin to go. You don't need to pray for them to go. As long as Jesus comes in, as long as you give him his space and say, Jesus, I hold nothing back. I hold nothing back. I hold nothing back. I don't know how to do it, but Jesus, I hold nothing back. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but Jesus, if there is anything you can use in me, go ahead and use it. But as for me, I've got nothing to offer. So I need your word. So Martha was listening to the word of Jesus, the Bible says. Why? Because the word of Jesus has life. And it is not only life, but it is also spirit. Come on. All we need is his word. His word will transform us. His word will give us hope. Oh, New Hope Church. Yes. The hope comes is found in Jesus alone. You can have cars, you can have mansions, you can have a good relationship with your wife, your hubby, whatever you want to call it. But if you don't have Jesus, you still won't be satisfied. You're still gonna be challenged. You're still gonna hang yourself on the tree and say, I'm done with myself. It is only Jesus that brings hope that nobody else is able to take away. Hallelujah. Whoa, he is the hope of my salvation. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Why do we love Jesus? Because when he died, he held nothing back. He gave all he had to us. And yet when he comes to us, we make rooms in our lives and we say, Jesus, you can have that, but you don't have authority and right on this. This is my thing. Don't touch that territory. That territory, Jesus, is mine to rule. But he's saying, would you let me come in fully without any hindrances? Would you let me just come in and bring transformation in your life? Would you let me come in and begin to work on your marriage? Would you let me come in and begin to work on your financial problems? Would you let me come in and begin to show you how life is lived? Would you let me come in like I feel it? Praise God. You know, many times we can, if we are not careful, become so selfish and think that we are smarter than Jesus, where we think we can just manipulate him, do whatever we want to do, live the way we want to live, and just bring a big offering. Jesus, you happy with me, right? Forget about what I did yesterday. You know, forget about anything else. As long as I do this, I do that. He's not about your works. He's not about your works. You can't do enough. He just needs you. All he wants is you. And you say, me, with my brokenness, what would he take from me? He wants you. But I'm not holy. Yes, he wants you. As a sinner, he still wants you. There is nothing desirable in me. Yes, he wants you. Me? Yes, you. And some of you are saying, are you talking to me, preacher? Yes, I'm talking to you. It is you that the Lord desires. It is you that the Lord loves to have time together. And I tell you what, when you give him your time, he will not take it for granted. He will use it so good that you will say it was worth it to spend time with Jesus. We all need to encounter him. We all need to encounter him in a deeper way, in a deeper level. I remember the time I had a supernatural encounter with Jesus. I had so many things to pray for. But at this same time, I said, God, I put everything else to the side. Forget about my financial problems. Forget about all these other issues. I said to him, I am going to go into the fasting and prayers. And all I'm looking for is to meet you. All I want is you, and I want nothing else. If I can just have you, if I can just taste who you are, if I can just see your beauty, that would be satisfying for me. You know, I remember praying. You know, Africans, as men, we don't cry. We are not allowed to cry. So I get up in the morning. It was the seventh day I was praying. And I think it was around 5 o'clock. And I'm kneeling down on my knees. And I'm saying, God, I gotta have you. I don't want anything else to have but you. I gotta have you. I don't care what it takes. I gotta have you. And I don't just want to have you by reading of the scripture. I want to know you in a personal way. Like, I really, really want to know who you are, God. I'm tired reading scripture like a magazine. I want you to become alive in my life. I want you to become so alive. I want to touch your garment, Jesus. I want to see your beauty. I want to see your glory like Moses did. And that is all that matters to me. That is all I want. And it was about 5 o'clock in the morning, as I was kneeling down, the power of the Holy Spirit came down on me. And I fell down flat on the ground like a kid. And I began to laugh. And I began to sob. You know, sobbing, laughing, crying, all mixed up. And I'm thinking, What's going on with me? How does that happen? How can anybody be laughing at the same time sobbing? Come in, come on. And I'm like, is this what the Holy Ghost is like? Is this what the Holy Ghost is like? And if this is how he's like, I want more of him. I want more of him. Come on. My wife heard me crying for the very first time. Because no matter how tough the tough will get, I will never cry. And she's thinking, what's wrong with my man? Him, really? Like, I've been desiring to see him crying. Finally! Oh, my goodness. And she comes down. But the way I was laughing and I was crying, she understood something was happening in me. She understood there was something more than what she can hear. She came and ran next to me and did not talk a word. And as soon as I heard my wife coming right next to me, I started to try to stop myself. I didn't want to cry. I'm like, God, I'm a man. Do not humiliate me in front of my wife. We do not cry. We are the men, African men, we don't cry. What are you doing to me, God? And more I tried to hinder myself from crying, I cried more louder like a baby. You can't win when the Holy Ghost comes in. You're never going to win. Jesus is saying, didn't you ask for it? You asked for it, right? I'm like, I didn't know it was going to come this way. Yeah, well, deal with it. Hallelujah. And from that moment, I was crying. The tears just filled the whole place. And I don't cry. Usually, I don't cry easily. You know, I cried and I cried. And from that moment, I can easily cry today. Because God worked a miracle in my life. I have no pride in me no more. If something goes crazy, I complain and I ask God, what is it happening? What's going on? God, you got to take it away from me. Right? You get to a point of surrender. Amen. We got to surrender. So my wife saw me and I was feeling the presence of God was felt by me for a whole week. Shaking. It was as if I live in a whole new world. I felt like I was living in heaven. I'm like, man, if this is what heaven is going to feel like, then I'm going to do whatever it takes to get there. I tell you what, the reason why I was sobbing, the reason why I was crying, it was because the liquid love of Jesus was so unbearable. I could not contain it. I could not comprehend it. I didn't know how to react to it. So I said, God, what do I do? He said, don't worry, it'll come. And I began to cry. From the time I had an encounter with Jesus, my life is never the same. So I encourage you, church, today. Seek to encounter him. Seek to know him. Seek to find him your way. Nobody will say lies to you. You will say, I know him. That is the reason why disciples would accept to be killed and they will never give up on Jesus. There is something about him that they knew that nobody else understood. If we can just know Jesus by reading the word, it's not enough. We got to encounter his love. Press in. Keep on pressing in. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. Keep on going down on your knees and say, Jesus, I got nothing to offer like Mary, but I know that you have all that I need. So I'm not going to try to perform, but I'm going to come and sit right at the feet of Jesus. I'm going to sit down on your feet and I'm going to ask you to do whatever you want to do in my life to make me the person you need me to become. Do it, Jesus. Do it for me. Praise the Lord. Jesus. Do you know how Jesus fought his fight? He said he loved us so much that even through the whole tough time, his focus was on you. He said, as long as I can have him, if I can just have her right after the beating, right after the nails going through my body. That's not a big problem. If I can just have those children, I would do whatever it takes. I would do it. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Arrows in my side? I don't care. Do it. Do it more. I'm ready to give up my life for my kids. I'll do it all. I'd do anything. I'd do anything. Jesus, are you ready to give up now? No, I'm not ready. Do whatever you want to do. I will die for my children. I will die for them. I don't care what it takes. I don't care what it takes. I remember when people were asked on the day of the where one person was supposed to be released, and they asked him, "Who do you want me to give you? Jesus, the prophet, the one who never did evil, but when all doing good, healing the sick, or do you want me to give you the thief, the one who robs you, Barabbas?" And they say, "Give us Barabbas and kill the prophet." And Jesus is saying, "I don't care what you did. I don't care what you did, do right or wrong. All I need you to do is come to me. Come to me. With all your brokenness, come to me. With all your confusions, come to me. I know you haven't got it all figured, but just come to me, because I'm the man. Yeah, I created you. Right? Just come to me the way you are. Just come. I'm a loving father. I'm a loving father. And every loving father will forgive his children. Hallelujah. But we gotta get to a point where we lift up our hands and say, "Jesus, like really, Jesus, like really, 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 Jesus, I need you. Come into my life and make a home inside of me and do whatever you want with my life. My life is not mine. It belongs to you." And you can say, you can have it all. Have it all, Jesus, however you want it. Have it all. I don't have life anyway. The life is already gone. It's taken. Can you take it? If there is anything you desire in me, just take it. He will come. He will come. And he will make his home inside of you. And you will never be disappointed. You know, by natural, I'm a very shy person. When the prophet spoke about me that I was going to become somebody who goes all over the world preaching the gospel, I was like, is that what prophets do? Like lying to people? Like me? No way. There's no way I can stand before people and begin to talk. That's not me. That's a wrong prophecy. That's what I said. But when the power of the Holy Spirit came on me, he began to deal with all my weaknesses. Do you have a weakness in your life? Jesus is here to give you strength. Do you have trials and challenges? Do you feel like you've got all these heavy burdens and you don't know how to contain it? He says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and tired, and you're tired because you have so much on you. I want to give you rest. I want to give you rest. But before I give you rest, come to me. Let me have a fellowship with you that I can begin to fix you." Praise God. As I conclude, it is possible that you've been serving the Lord all your life. It is possible that you've been a church goer. It is possible that you've been a religious person, somebody who just follow a set of rules and stuff. But you don't know this Jesus that I'm talking about intimately. He told me today, if you could just allow him to come in, he wants to come in. He wants to have a brand new relationship with you. He wants to reveal himself to you in a way that you've never known him before. And all he wants you to do is open up your heart and say, "Jesus, I am tired with me. I want more of you. I need nothing about me, but I need everything about you. I don't have anything to offer. I don't know how to cook well. I don't know how to do all these things that you may be pleased with me. But God, if you can just give me a chance, Lord, I will come and I will kneel down at your feet and you fix me. And he can do it and he will do it. He will do it. Now as we all rise up, as he invites Pastor Matt, he's going to help us that if there is anybody who's weary, you're tired, you are confused, and maybe you go to church because your friends go to church, and maybe you go to church because you were brought up in the church, but you don't really know, you don't have any relationship with Jesus. And you say, that message was mine. As he calls you, it is not Matt calling you, but it is the voice of God. It is by spending time with Jesus, people, that we will be renewed. It is by spending time with Jesus that we begin to have power over sin. It is by spending time with Jesus that addictions are broken down, the strongholds are broken down, the spells and curses are broken down. It is by spending time with Jesus, it is going down at the feet of Jesus and saying, Jesus, you gotta come in my life. Do whatever you want. God, I'm tired. I don't want anything else to do, but I need you. I gotta have you. We can begin to defeat the lies of the devil so easily if we can begin to spend time with Jesus. It can become so easy. We can begin to curse demons. We can begin to drive out demons. We can begin to walk in powers. We can begin to walk in the miracles and signs. It all comes by spending time with Jesus. All of that comes as we spend time with him. He is a good God and he says, I want you to live a prosperous life. I want you to live an awesome life. I want you to be happy in your marriage. I want to fix all that is broken in your life. But you gotta allow me to come in and do what I do as a God. Can we all just lift up our hands for 1 second and say, thank you, Lord. We give ourselves to you. You are an awesome God. We thank you for Jesus. Jesus, you are awesome. There is nobody like you. We give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Let's give a big hand for Pastor.